Well, greetings. Good day to you, wherever you happen to be. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. This is your show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio, getting underway on this Thursday, the Feast of St. John of Capistrano. And it is so good to have you with us, wherever you happen to be, carving a little bit of time out of your day to join and hopefully participate in your show. Hopefully you can stay with us for the entire show. But if not, we appreciate you ducking in whenever you can. Hey, Deb.
It would help if I have my mic up. Hello, Jerry. Hello. It's so good that you're with us, and we're excited about the show. And I agree with you. Those that come in and out, that we've got the lunch bunch going strong. Those that are working, and you take your time out and your breaks, and you listen to Take Two. It's just fabulous. And you even call in. How about our truckers that listen all the time? Those that are driving, please call in. Here is the question. I'm going to give you the number. We have Matt on the phones, Jerry. We have Michael at the controls. Pedro on social media. Social media, we're waving to you guys. Thank you so much. Here's the question. Have you ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else? Have you ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. These are the things of life. You know, we talk about everyday life on this program. It's your show. We drill down every day. Sometimes we get to a real sensitive topic like today's. Maybe you've had to make that decision yourself for someone else. Maybe you had to make it with family, with siblings, maybe for a parent or a relative who is maybe incapable of making an important decision, such as, you know, to have a surgery or even something, you know, as dramatic as having maybe life support taken off when doctors said there was no further you know, help that they could give them. So we're talking about this today, and we would love to hear from you because, as we say, I'll repeat it again, whatever you share on this show is going to impact other people's lives. So if you've been through this, if this is part of your lived experience, someone else will benefit from what you share today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
You know, caregiving is a big thing these days where people are put into a position to really take care of someone else, a loved one, a friend, parents, grandparents, and those medical decisions come up, and there's a lot you have to think about, you know, and pray about, and then you have to make those hard decisions, and then you've got to, you know, feel at peace with it, because a lot of people feel a lot of guilt and regret because sometimes they don't get family support with some of these medical decisions. There's all these angles, all these facets of it that we can talk about. And you'll see, Jerry and I say this every single show, and we manage to do it pretty much every single show. You'll see how this weaves into your spiritual life. Okay, so we do, having the phones are, the phones are just starting to light up right now at 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Have you ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else? And Jerry, just a little bit of housekeeping here. I just want to make sure our listeners, it's something that we just thought it was something that maybe everybody knew, but we just want to invite everybody to do this. Please find us on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because when we come across articles that pertain to the conversations that we have here on Take Two, we post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. And please find us personally on our pages. Mine's Debbie Giorgiani. But Jerry, the other thing too is if you can wave to YouTubers right now, going having their chats go strong, we're going to ask everybody who's on YouTube right now, can you hit the thumbs up button for us? Would you do that for us? Hit the thumbs up button. Okay, it's so simple to do, but it changes everything, and it's really amazing. Then more people will be able to see and hear Take Two. So if you just hit that thumbs up button for us as a little favor, we would really appreciate it.
Okay, and as Debbie said, calls are coming in. Still a couple of open phone lines here. This is always the best time to call and get your take on the program live here on EWTN Radio. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. We always say it is your show, and you are the ones who drive it and make it what it is each and every day at 833-288 EWTN, 833-288-3986. Have you ever had to intervene, make a decision, a medical decision on behalf of someone else? Maybe it was for a child of yours, or you were the parent, and you made a decision that was difficult. Maybe the child didn't want you to maybe make that decision, but you knew it was best, so you and the doctors made that decision. Or it could have been for a parent, maybe to place a parent in a skilled nursing facility somewhere. Or it could be some kind of a major, a surgery issue, or even something to do of it with the very essence of life. So that is what we're talking about today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Okay, phone lines are lighting up, so you have a lot to say about this. You don't have to be Catholic to call in, okay? So if you're listening right now, this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we welcome everyone to the Take Two family. We've been doing that for 10-plus years. So we're going to ask you to pull over safely to the side of the road, take us off of Bluetooth so we can hear you clearly. Give us the what we call the Reader's Digest version of the story, and tell us the details of it. If you've ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else, that is so important, and we want to talk about it together the Take Two way. So please dial in. We're very friendly. Matt's on the phones. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Yeah, we also have the way that you can text us. It's not maybe the best way to get your whole message across, but you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Just wait for our response to come back to you. Then text us your first name and then the brief details of your what you'd like to contribute to the program today. Just keep in mind message and data rates may apply. But we are looking forward to hearing the voices of many of you, because like Debbie said, phone lines are very, very active right now. You can post on social media as well. So this is one of those topics here that we know is going to be impactful. There might be a tear or two shed on a topic like this. We don't know yet. Only the callers and the Holy Spirit know that. But we would love to have you participate, like Lisa is going to in a moment in Bloomington, Illinois. Juan is in Midland, Texas. And we have a lot of other calls being screened right now here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Our call screener today is Matt. Michael is our producer. Pedro is on social media. And where are you, Take Two family? Please do join us. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We'll be right back.
To make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else? That's what we're asking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please call us 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Juan, you're going to be first, and you're going to start the conversation. Lisa is right behind you, so everybody hang on, keep calling, and speak to Matt. Before we go to the phones, Jerry, making a hard decision requires a lot of prayer, and we definitely need the rosary, especially during this month of October. So EWTN brings you the Holy Rosary twice each day for over 30 years. Tune in every morning at 5:30 Eastern Time for Mother Angelica, and every evening at 9:30 Eastern for Father Benedict Rochelle. It's only on EWTN Radio. Okay, Juan, you are in Midland, Texas, on our friends at Guadalupe Radio Network. Juan, welcome to Take Two.
Yes, good morning, Debbie and Jerry.
Good morning, Juan.
Yes, I had to make a medical decision for my 28-year-old brother. He had a routine surgery, which was gallbladder removal, and the doctor accidentally cut the artery to the liver. Oh. And he repaired the artery and caused the blood clot behind it, which caused the liver to die. And we had to make a family decision, because my parents were already gone, to pull the plug or let it happen in a few days. So we decided to pull the plug. Mm-hmm. And it was a horrible thing that I still carry in me. It was very difficult, very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And the doctors made a mistake on his comfort medicine when they pulled the tube out of his mouth. He stood up and asked me to help him that he couldn't breathe. And that went on for like 15 minutes before he passed away. And I have anxiety and panic attacks, and I take medication for that. But my wife, as I call her, my prayer warrior, she has led me more to our Lord that has helped me to heal. I went to the priest and did a confession. I felt like I had killed my brother, and he assured me that I didn't do that. But consciously, I felt horrible. But doing the daily rosaries now for many months, and going to Mass every Sunday has made a big, big difference in my life.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Juan, well, thank you for having the courage, really, to call in today, because I'm sure this call was not easy for you to make. And, of course, that decision to remove your brother from the life support could not have at all have been an easy decision to make. If just to clarify, I wanted to make sure you said the doctors said that he was going to die anyway. Is that what the doctor said to you?
Correct. It was a matter of, because he was strong and 28 years old. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how many days or hours he had. Okay. But we decided as a family, there were six siblings, and I was the oldest. We decided to not let him suffer, depending how many days or more hours it would take. We decided as a family to stop life support.
Yeah.
And it was the hardest decision I think we all made, all six siblings, in our lives.
Well, and a couple things here, Juan, to keep in mind. You just said it was all of the siblings together that made this decision. I'm sure it was prayed about. I'm sure it was discussed at length with doctors. Like you said, he was not going to survive anyway. You did not want him to suffer. So you did not do anything wrong, and you certainly did not do anything. You said you took it to confession, and that's fine because your conscience was telling you that, but the priest gave you the right advice. You did not kill your brother. You did not murder him. You said you've had the anxiety and the panic attacks and so forth since then, but the going to the masses and praying has helped to alleviate that. Juan, that confession that you went to, that was hugely important. But I would say, and Debbie, I think you'll agree, today, Debbie, is the day for Juan to let this go and to pray for his brother, and also to ask his deceased brother to maybe pray for him, mm-hmm. do some intercession for him,
and his family.
So that you will have peace in your heart about this, Juan. Debbie, I'll let you share a thought or two.
Absolutely, Jerry. I couldn't agree more. Juan, I brought the prayer book out. I put your whole family in the book. If you feel comfortable, if you want to give us your brother's first name, you're more than welcome to, but God knows who your family is. But we are praying, and we are extending all those prayers, just like your beautiful wife has encouraged you to pray the rosary. I agree with Jerry. You went to confession. It's time for you to really and truly put this in a place where you can start to heal, okay? And let me ask you this question. Your brother, was he a baptized Catholic?
Yes, he was.
Did he receive the anointing before he passed? It was a priest present.
And that's one of the things that it was made, and none of us thought about that. Mm-hmm. And now we think about it, and it's a guilt that we have. It didn't even cross our minds at that time.
Right. So you didn't do it intentionally. It just didn't cross your mind.
Yes.
So here's the beautiful thing. You know, God stands outside of time. God stands outside of time. So have some masses said for your brother. Okay, have some masses said and really take it to prayer when you pray the rosary with your wife and say, please, we really would have wanted him to have an anointing, to have those final, the final graces as he left this earth. And honestly, he's a baptized Catholic. He is marked for Jesus. So honestly, to heal, picture your brother in the arms of Jesus. You basically handing him over to Jesus and start to heal one and really take. And then this is such a huge spiritual exercise in trust for God, because what you're saying to God is, I'm hurting. We feel some guilt, but we trust you, Lord, so much. And you've got our brother in your arms, and he is safe, and he is well, and he is protected, and he is with God. And I just think if you continue to do that, you can lift some of the heaviness and start to heal today. I agree with Jerry. So Juan, we're going to be praying for that. Anything else you wanted to share with us?
Yes, his name was Fernando, and I want to thank you and Jerry and the EWTM family to keep us in our prayers, because we do need them.
We will absolutely do that, Juan. We will start today, and we will not stop praying for you and for, I think you said Carlando was your brother, and all of your family. But please, Juan, ask the Lord. He will give you the peace that you are looking for. And again, just really let today, this phone call, be the moment that you stop carrying any guilt about this. Try really hard at that. Repeatedly ask the Holy Spirit. Because God sometimes works. He does things in layers, like an onion. You know, peel back one little layer, then another one, until finally you get to what you're looking for. So don't give up. Don't stop. But be at peace, Juan, okay? You and your siblings, we just want to encourage you to really be at peace, okay?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you, Juan, for trusting us with this.
Yes. Yes, that's powerful.
Very, very much so. And we've got prayers already from the Take-Two family, so feel the prayers. Jerry, you really need to wave to Anne on YouTube. I agree with Anne. It's been so awesome to have Jerry back this week. And we missed you, praying for you, Jerry. Absolutely, Anne. So he'll be on more often, and that's great, because his class schedule is changing again. You know, he's in seminary, so classes change. And so that's fabulous. Anne, thank you so much. You put a smile on Jerry's face. If you really feel happy, like the thumbs up button. Would you do that for us, Anne? Okay, Lisa in Bloomington, Illinois is up next, Jerry, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi. I apologize right now because I only have about 5 minutes. I'm going to make this fast. I'm calling from Bloomington, Illinois, and thank you for taking my call. A few years ago, I had to make decisions for my mom. She had cancer. She was supposed to have years to live, but then she went in for surgery and started having complications. She ended up having to go on life support, and after that, she did make it home, only to then be found unconscious at home, went back on life support. We again made the call to, you know, keep her on life support, and it was those two times that gave our children more time with their Nana, and then she did die a month later. But we made that hard decision to just, you know, try to do what was right to keep her here with us, and we had as much time as we could with her.
Okay.
Did you want to share some more, Lisa? Because I put your mom in the book, but I think you said also your dad and your sister.
Yeah, unfortunately now my dad, I had to put my dad in a nursing home, and so now I'm at the process of, I'm his POA, and I will have to make all decisions. I'm getting ready to sell his house and his car and make all those decisions for him. And in the meantime, my sister was found unconscious and went into the hospital. And her husband and I had many conversations, and I'm her secondary POA, and I had to just keep on him to make sure that he knew that we believed in doing everything we could to help her to live. And the only thing I'm going to ask you to do for my sister Amy is that you pray for her faith and her strength and her soul, because when she woke up in ICU, I said, "You're here because Jesus wasn't done with you." And she said that she believed that. But as time has gone on, she's kind of back to her old ways. And now when I tried to talk to her last week about, you know, the faith and trying to get closer to Jesus and God, she started crying and left the room, according to the person that was helping her.
Okay, well, Lisa, wow, you have really been called upon to make some very serious decisions, quite a number of them as well. Any one of these things would be enough to, you know, really burden a person considerably and kind of wear you out. But you have sounds like you've done a wonderful job there. I would say with regard to your sister, you know, she had those seeds planted. When we come close to death, we find ourselves, we wake up in ICU, for example. Those are those moments that bring us, whether we die or not, maybe we don't die at that moment, but it brings us face to face with our mortality. So you can be sure that God planted some seeds, or some seeds were planted through that experience with your sister. So I would say just continue to be the beautiful witness and example that you can be for your Christian faith, for your sister. Regarding your dad, and yeah, that was a tough decision. You're doing a lot for him, and then what you did for your mom as well. I would just say, Lisa, just make sure you're taking care of you as well.
Exactly.
I know. Mm-hmm. I knew Debbie was going to go there, because
yep,
these kinds of things, you know, can really swallow you up if you're not mm-hmm. careful. And it's a noble, it's a beautiful, charitable thing to do, but do not forget about Lisa as well in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more, Lisa. And we've got your whole family, and we've got you starred in the prayer book. So please feel the prayers and just know that you're a beautiful soul. I know you got to get going. So thank you so much for contributing to this episode today. Juan in Midland, Texas, if you're still listening, boy, oh boy, I'm getting alerts like crazy on the phone. Everybody is praying for you and your family. So really, I love how the Take Two family goes into action with prayer. So that's just beautiful. I hope you feel the love and support for your family and your brother, and just they want peace and healing for your family. Jerry, I love the Take Two family. We have such a huge hearts in the Take Two group.
Well, there are, yeah, and it's a matter of when we hear of a need for prayer on the program, the Take Two family, they just spring into action right away. Even before, you know, Debbie or I may ask for a name or someone to put in the prayer book, or for some of this, you know, some kind of specific prayer intention, we know that the Take Two family are already springing into action in terms of praying for whatever your needs and intentions are. So be assured of that, and don't forget to always pray for the prayer team. I mean, the EWTN show team here as well, not just Debbie and myself, but all of the people behind the scenes who help make Take Two with Jerry and Debbie what it is each day. So
Lisa, free to phone line there if you'd like to tell us if you've ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else. You can get right in. Matt will pick up the line real fast. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Okay, we are going to get a quick pause here, and on certain shows, this today's show being one of them, the calls, the people that get on the air, it may take a little bit longer than some of the calls on other shows of Take Two. That's just because of the nature of the show today and kind of the heaviness of it as well. So if you're on hold there, we will get to you. So stay on the line. Lori, Rena, Sylvia, Carol, just stay right there, because we want to help you and allow you to get your take and share with the Take Two family your experience about having made a hard medical decision for someone in your own life as well. So please stay on the line. Be patient. We appreciate that. The number is, for that open phone line that Debbie just mentioned, 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Be right back. Okay, today talking about making hard medical decisions on behalf of someone else. We will go back to the phones because you have been waiting patiently. That means Lori, a first-time caller in Central Ohio, listening today on St. Gabriel Radio. Hello, Lori. Welcome to Take Two.
Thank you so much. I would like to say, Debbie, and well, both of you, your heartfelt words to the callers before me are very, very touching. My story is a little bit lighter and more positive. My sister, when she was 16, was in a bad accident where her foot got shoved up under the dashboard of a car. When my mother and father were called to the hospital, they showed them her foot, which was hanging on by about 2 inches of skin. And they said, we are going to try to save her foot, but we probably won't be able to. And my father said, you will save her foot. They said, well, she'll probably never walk on it again. And he said, she will. She'll walk on it again. And, you know, she was a cheerleader at the time. It took about a year for it to heal. And, you know, it took her time to get to the point, but, you know, she can use it nearly like anyone else can use any other unhurt foot or leg like that. And if it hadn't been for my dad's faith, I don't think that she would still have her foot. I don't think she'd be the person that she is today because of that. It was truly just his faith.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. Is your dad still with us, Lori?
No, he passed quite a while ago when I was 16. He was a very strong man of faith, although he was not Catholic. No, he was not. But he would give you the shirt off his back. You know, he didn't, if it was his only shirt, he'd still give it to you. He was that kind of person.
Right. Can I put your dad in our prayer book? What an amazing man you had as your father.
Well, I feel that way too. His name is John.
John, beautiful. Is your mom with us? Is your mom with us?
No, she passed 14 years ago.
Okay, so let me put
them.
They
both had cancer, so.
Oh, let me put them together. So John and your mom's name?
Catherine,
with a C or a K?
K.
K, okay, got it. And so how is
so
your
sister?
Oh, absolutely. How is your sister doing today, Lori?
Well, you know, she's an older woman like I am. And she's wonderful. She's got grandkids. She has two of her own children. And, you know, she's been through a lot. She wouldn't be where she is without that foot. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's just getting back to your dad, you know, and just how bold and confident and almost prophetic that he was in uttering those words, you know, you will reattach your foot. She will walk again. You know, when someone is going through that, like your sister, Lori, her mind was probably going to all of the negative places like, oh, I'm going to lose my foot. I'm never going to walk again. And yet to have the other perspective introduced there by your dad so powerfully and confidently. Boy, that had to really be a factor in her rehabilitation. Yeah, rehab and recovery and for the rest of her life. That is just phenomenal.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit right there.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's a miracle, Lori.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me share that story. I just, you know, feel it was important that sometimes people give up when a doctor tells them one thing or another, and sometimes you have to be a little stronger.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. Well, it was a great testimony you shared with us, Lori. Thank you so much for being a first-time caller. Don't hesitate to call a second, third, and fourth time, many more times on the show in the future. We appreciate your participation in this broadcast. Okay, talking about having made a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else, Sylvia is next, listening in Dallas. Sylvia is listening, let's see here. Where
in Dallas, Texas, on Sirius XM 130.
I had to get my mouse over there to click on Sylvia's name.
Yep, hello, Sylvia.
Hi, Sylvia, welcome.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air, Sylvia.
Okay, I'm calling about my having to make a decision of signing a DNR for my 31-year-old son. He was diagnosed at 21 with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is an enlarged heart. And the last year of his life, he was in and out of the hospital and having trouble breathing. He had to be on oxygen. in a lot of chest pain. He even had a defibrillator put in, and I decided to retire early so I could stay home with him and take care of him. And he was in the hospital locally for a week when I signed the DNR, and he had asked me to sign the DNR. He was mildly MR, and he also had he suffered from autism and from he was bipolar as well. But he was very strong in his faith. He had received his last rite or his 2 weeks before he passed, and he had he knew the scripture better than I did. He was always quoting scripture. And he just decided he was tired. He didn't want to be resuscitated. He came home with hospice, and then the next day he passed. He just, I've had feelings, it took me a while. I had a lot of guilt feelings about signing the DNR, that maybe I should have not signed it.
Mm. Well, Sylvia, you know, again, this is a situation where, you know, in looking back, you know, you're maybe thinking, maybe I did the wrong thing. Maybe I didn't do the right thing. I think you honored, maybe it sounds like you honored your son's wishes. You know, he said that he did not want to really, he was tired. Maybe he didn't feel like, you know, fighting that fight anymore. You know, it sounds like he was a beautiful young man, though. What a beautiful man. It sounds like his faith was strong.
He was very giving and loving. Yeah. And he was the type that he would give anything that he, you know, off his shirt, off his back.
Yeah.
Literally, he was just that kind of a person. He would give a pair, if somebody didn't have a pair of shoes, he'd give them a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, he was that kind of a person.
Yeah, and you know, there are words that we all want to hear, Sylvia, when we pass from this life into the next one. And those words are, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to meditate on those words and apply them to your son. By the way, would you mind giving us his first name? We are the Take-Two family, as you know, prays for everybody, whether they're in the prayer book or not, but we especially like them to be in the prayer book. Are you comfortable giving us his first name?
Andrew.
Andrew. Okay, so
yeah.
Just when you think of Andrew, think of those words, what Jesus has said to him already. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then for you, Sylvia, it is time today. Again, we were talking to Juan before. He was kind of carrying around some feelings of remorse or guilt over a decision he had made. Let's just say today, Sylvia, this is also the day that you really try and let go of those things. Surrender them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is the Surrender Novena if you have access to the internet, or maybe you know of it already, Sylvia. But the main prayer in the Surrender Novena says, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Mm-hmm. So just surrender Sylvia to Jesus today. You surrender Andrew to him, and then surrender your heart and the rest of your life to him, Sylvia, so that you're not carrying this around and feeling this burden that we heard through your emotion and your tears. Debbie, I'm talking a lot. Sorry about that. But
no, it was beautiful. Beautifully said. I think we can all take comfort in that. But I got to tell you, Sylvia, same thing we shared with Juan, with Juan's brother. It's the same with your son. I mean, you know, we as parents, you know, there's a part of us when we have these children, when we raise these children, we have them as that they are ours, right? They're ours, you know,
yeah.
my child, my son, okay, but they're God's. They're God's. And your brother, I mean, Juan's brother and your son, Sylvia, they're marked for Jesus. So they're God's. And the best thing we can do on this side of the veil is trust that God's got them and not be so incredibly hard on ourselves, because that's going to stop our forward movement. It's going to stop our spiritual advancement. If we're beating ourselves up for decisions we could have done better, should have done better. And believe me when I tell you this, Sylvia, people who have in any type of caregiving role, they all feel that way. Jerry and I are life coaches. They come to us, clients come to us who have been in some kind of caregiving role, and they all feel the guilt and the regret of things they could have done, should have done, would have done. I mean, and God doesn't want that for any of us. What he wants us is to trust and, like Jerry said, surrender and start to heal so we can move forward. And then someday, Sylvia, you'll be reunited with your son, and it'll be a beautiful banquet and feast that you will be celebrating together. That's what we pray for.
Can I also add his sister, prayer for his sister? Her name is Andrea.
Andrea, oh. Were they twins?
No, I just couldn't think of a name. She was 4 years. She's four years younger.
Oh, beautiful. Andrew. What a beautiful mom you are. I hope you feel the peace today, Sylvia.
I do.
Good.
I pray the rosary every day with Father Rochelle on the radio. And I have a beautiful granddaughter she was born few months after Andrew passed away. Mm-hmm. She gives me lots of joy.
Good.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well,
all right, Sylvia, you're in the book. The whole family is. And so just feel those prayers, just like we shared with everyone else that has called today. That's what Take Two is all about. We're family. So thank you, Sylvia, for trusting us with this very deep story. Jerry?
Thank you, Sylvia. Rena, hang on, and Maria in Houston. And we have room for a couple of others there on the phone at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Have you ever had to make a hard medical decision on behalf of someone else? Just want to mention before we go to Rena that The World Over with Raymond Arroyo is every Thursday. It's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will hear Edward Penton. He is the senior Vatican correspondent from the National Catholic Register. He'll report on the historic visit to the Vatican by King Charles III of the UK and the return of the traditional Latin Mass to St. Peter's Basilica. Also, Father Robert McTague, a Jesuit priest and podcaster, will discuss reports that Pope Leo XIV may be instituting further reforms to the personal prelature Opus Dei, comments also on the newly named president of Georgetown University, and more. And also Marta Petrosio, editor of Aid to the Church in Need's 2025 Religious Freedom Report. We'll share her findings of their biennial study and the most problematic areas in the world for religious freedom. That's The World Over with Raymond Arroyo tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV and radio. And get news from The World Over in your email inbox every week. Just visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe.
Okay, we will get to Rena now in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Rena, welcome to Take Two.
Thank you.
You go right ahead.
Well, my husband developed cancer of the mouth, and if you know, it's a horrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he had surgery on it, and he went through all the radiation and was fine for 8 years, and it came back. Mm. And he had to have surgery again, and that was during COVID.
Mm.
And after he went through the surgery fine, was up walking the next day, and after he was up walking, he asked the nurse where his wife was, because I was always there. I never left him when he went, but because of COVID, they wouldn't let me. And she said, well, remember, Steve, she can't be here because of COVID. And he had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And he was on the ventilator for 2 weeks. And we had discussed it after his first surgery about what he wanted. And he said, go ahead and put him on the ventilator for up to 2 weeks. And if there wasn't any progress in 2 weeks, take him off. Don't just leave him there. So they kept trying for 2 weeks, and they couldn't. And so after the 2 weeks, I told him to take him off. Now, he had all of his last sacraments. He was a fourth-degree knight. He was ready. He was tired. And I took him off the ventilator, and he only lasted about a minute. The hard part had been for about 3 years afterwards was my son because he felt I murdered him. And I just kept praying about it and left it in the good Lord's hand. And he finally told me, he said, Mom, it wasn't you. But it took a while.
Well, everybody grieves differently. And your son, it obviously hit him very hard. And unfortunately, you know, he put that on you. And so, but the good news is that he came around, which is really quite beautiful because, like we said earlier, we're life coaches. We actually deal with a lot of folks that in a similar situation, especially through COVID, and some of the family members still aren't talking to each other. It's very unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way. You don't want to heap more sadness and sorrow and loss and anger and all sorts of things on top of the fact that you've already experienced such a big loss. I think I caught, Rena, that your husband's name is Steve. Did I get that correct? Because I put him in the prayer book.
The letter C.
Oh, C.
Oh,
that letter's his first name.
C. Oh, okay. I thought you said Steve. Okay, C. I put C in the prayer book, and I put your son as well, and you. But Rena, you know, if you could spend one day with what we hear about the post COVID stories, they're so sad, and they will, like you have been through, it'll rip out your heart, just like what you shared. But again, he was a fourth degree knight. He lived for the Lord. He had his sacraments. He was marked for Christ. He's with, you know, we know we have to trust that you handed him over to the Lord and said, you know, and God embraced him. And we have to see it that way, that it's not for ours to hold on to even too tightly. Because if we do, that's where the pain comes in, that lasts inside of our soul and we can't move forward. So Rena, we're so sorry for your loss, but it sounds like you're coming out of this in a healthy way and with reconciliation with your son. So we're so grateful to God for that. And I know Jerry wants to share a few comments.
Well, I can't add to what you just said. I think I agree with what Debbie said, Rena. It was a little bit of a difficult speed bump there, but thanks be to God, your son has come to a better place. And we certainly hope that your relationship with him is in a very beautiful place right now.
Thank you for calling, Rena. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to try to squeeze in Maria from Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Maria, you are on the air with us and the whole Take Two family.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, just fine. You go right ahead.
Thank you. All right, so I am dealing with my mom, who is 95 in a couple of months, and made the decision that we couldn't continue to care for her at home on our own, and so we brought in hospice. And so we're praying for her and a smooth passing. But my request for prayer, and it's been really difficult, is Mom practices Jehovah's Witness, or at least she professes it. She doesn't know much about it, but she denies the Catholic faith because of the Trinity, is what I can gather so far. So I've been praying and hoping, and I guess the weight on my heart is that no, she would die thinking that there isn't anything after this world, and that I haven't been able to help her understand the Trinity and God's mercy and love. And so just hoping for prayers, please.
Yeah,
absolutely. But she believes in God, correct?
She does. And I asked her, I said, Mom, when you die and God asks you, do you want to come live with Jesus tonight? Will you say yes? She said, yes.
Good.
Beautiful.
Well, good. Well, then, Maria, that's what you do. You just keep reinforcing that. Keep reinforcing for her to reach out. I'm going to cry. But tell her to keep reaching out for Jesus, never to deny Jesus, and keep telling her about Jesus. Read her stories if you can, if she'll listen to it from the New Testament. And Maria, just keep saying to Jesus, please greet my mother. She doesn't want to reject you. She wants to embrace embrace you. And we have to trust, because when we have loved ones who don't share our beliefs or share our faith, it's very painful. We want to see them again in the afterlife. And so we can do this hard work now, maybe even a little bit of fasting and almsgiving, Maria, and for your mother on her conversion behalf. And I mean, it's huge what we can do as the loved ones of those that don't exactly believe what we believe. What do you say to that, Jer?
Well, I would say, Maria, we're so glad that you called. And I would just say, if you are familiar with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, are you familiar with that prayer, Maria?
Very much so.
Okay, good. Beautiful. I would say really kind of camp on that prayer, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, obviously the Rosary and the Mass as well. But one of my professors in college said, if all you put on your exam is that God's greatest attribute is mercy, I'll never fail you, because it shows that you know something important about God. And that is true. God's mercy. You've probably been around people who have breathed their last, Maria. Debbie has mm-hmm. with family, and I have as well.
Yep.
We have seen the mercy of God on full display so beautifully. God, at the end of a life, no matter whose life it is and how they've lived that life, there's nothing God wants more than to bring that soul into union into heaven with Him.
Absolutely.
And so if we just simply provide the means for God to do that, but bring the graces into those people's lives through our prayers, especially the chaplet, I think you're going to see really
miracles.
Amazing
miracles.
Things. You're going to see amazing things
yep.
in the remaining days that your mother has, Maria. I really believe that.
I totally agree.
I also believe that that's why God has her here with me still, so that I can spend more time sharing God's word and mm-hmm. Jesus'
yeah.
life.
Yeah. Yeah, share the stories. Yeah, get her as close to Jesus as possible. I love it. Maria, you've got the whole Take Two family surrounding you and your beautiful mom. Do you feel comfortable giving us her first name?
Yes, Lucia, Lucia.
Oh, beautiful name. Okay. Okay, Maria, keep us posted, please. We're praying. Joe on YouTube, this is another one that just breaks my heart. I gave Mama CPR and it didn't work. The paramedic told me giving CPR on the bed does not work because of the mattress. I've never gotten over those words. Joe, you have to look at your intention. You made the effort to give the CPR, okay? So you didn't know that the mattress probably wasn't giving you enough, you know, solid
support. Yeah.
Right. So, Joe, you have to look at it this way. Your heart was in the right place and you were doing the right thing. Please try your hardest to heal over this. And remember that your intention was good and pure and holy. Okay, Teresa in Sioux City, Iowa. Jerry, we just have a couple minutes on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Teresa, we have a couple minutes to hear your story.
Okay. My mom was 90 years old in assisted living, and she got really, really sick. And they took her to the hospital, found out that she had basically a rotten gallbladder. And I was sitting with her. I was the only one of the kids sitting with her that day, that the surgeon came in and said to me, "I don't want her dying on my table." He said, "I would like to just keep her comfortable and let her pass." And I looked at him and I said, "I can't make that decision." I said, "If this were your mom, what would you do?" And he looked back at me and he said, "Okay, I'll give it a try." He said, "We will do surgery in 2 hours." And they did, and she was in intensive care for 5 days. She was able to go back to assisted living. She lived another 2 years, and she just passed this May. Her birthday would have been yesterday.
Oh, wow. Well, a beautiful heavenly birthday to her as well, and an earthly birthday too. Yeah, my mother, she died, I think she said at 90. My mother died at 90 as well. But this is just a beautiful story, Teresa. I think you did the right thing in mm-hmm. kind of turning the question around to that doctor and really asking him, what would you do, you know? And mm-hmm. and so he did exactly what he would have done. You had two additional beautiful years with your mother because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
praise be to God for that.
Can you give us her first
name? That decision.
Yeah. Can you give us her first name, Teresa?
Yes, her name is Joanne.
Joanne. So she passed on John Paul II's feast day. Wow.
Yes, and she had a very, very beautiful, very peaceful passing.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for that.
Oh, yes.
Well, Teresa, thank you for calling in and sharing what you did. You've brought this, what was a very emotional show, to a close because we don't have any time to get to any other callers. But thank you, Teresa, and we'll be praying for your mother and for all of the people who are on the show today, your loved ones, especially those that you had to make decisions for who ultimately went to meet the Lord. I know those things weren't very easy. Could have been very, very difficult, trying, even traumatic. But we pray God's peace would be upon each and every one of you, Debbie, because that's the most important thing. Hopefully a lot of people today who called in are going to now find that sense of peace, having kind of gotten out of their, off their chest, if you will, the burden that they were carrying.
Well, that's why we do this show. We're the mystical body of Christ. So when one of us experiences a loss, we all experience it. When we can heal together, we're all healing, because that's the beautiful, mystical body of Christ. Jerry?
Well, yeah, very, as always, impactful broadcast here. Take two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Good to have you being the third part of the program each and every day. When tomorrow comes and the show is back on the air, we're going to say, when you see a homeless person, what is your first thought? All right, when you see a homeless person, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? That'll be the topic for tomorrow, so be thinking about that, praying about that. You might even experience that between now and then. There's a very good chance that you will. So we want to thank the show team, Matt, Michael, and Pedro today, everybody behind the scenes at EWTN, and of course you, the Take-Two family, for always doing a fantastic job on this broadcast. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, wishing you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.